The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 15, verses from 11 to 16. It is page 121 in the New Testament. Please allow me to read the words of the Lord. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Amen. Today's scripture reminds us of a movie titled Papillon, which was released in 1973. This movie was a film version of a novel based on a real story of Henri Charrier. At the age of 24, Henri Charrier was sentenced to life imprisonment under a false accusation that he killed a pimp after drinking in a bar in Paris in 1930. False testimony of a witness and ambition of an attorney who was blinded by fame made Henry end up life sentence. Henry had a butterfly tattoo in his chest and was called Papillon, meaning a butterfly in French. He was sent to a prison located in French Guiana in the northern Brazil, South Africa. A warden told prisoners that the jail was impossible to break out, and if found that they tried, they would be put in a solitary confinement for 2 years. For the second, 5 years of a solitary confinement as well as harsh restriction. It could even lead to decapitation, he said. On his way to the prison, Papillon met Louis Degas, who counterfeited bills. Papillon protected Degas from violence, while Degas paid for the cost required for Papillon's jailbreak. That way, they became friends. When Papillon failed and was put in a solitary confinement, Degas used to secretly give him coconuts. Once Papillon successfully broke the jail and spent happy days being greatly treated by the natives, but he soon got caught again due to the report of a mother superior. He therefore had to spend 5 years in a solitary confinement. His hair turned white and teeth were ruined. Then Papillon was sent to a notorious prison called Devil's Island. Guards of the prison were not men, but wild waves and sharks. He met Degas there again. Papillon looked around the island with Degas, thinking that there must be a way to get out of there. Yet there were only wild waves hitting the island. He threw a bag of coconuts to the sea as a test. The bag couldn't go any further, but was broken into pieces when hitting a rock. Papillon never gave up and finally figured out how to break the jail. Waves rolling roughly in were drifted out to the sea on a periodic basis, which was very regular. He didn't hesitate to explain his plan to Duga, and they decided to get out of there together. Duga, however, refused to go at the last minute. Papillon left Duga behind and threw a bag of coconut to the raging water, and then he also dived into the sea. He then gave himself to the coconut bag and moved his arms and legs little by little to go forward to the sea. At last, he made it in the middle of the water and shouted, "Hey, you bastards, I'm still here." He fades out from the screen. And the movie ends with the caption as follows: Papillon made it to freedom, and for the remaining years of his life, he lived a free man. This, the infamous penal system, French Guiana, did not survive him. Today's scripture introduces us a young man who considered his home as a jail and himself Papillon. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law had a distorted image of God. God rejoices and loves the righteous, but hates and gets angry with sinners. They fail to receive Jesus in many ways. Jesus said, "He was the Son of God." But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law couldn't accept the fact because the Son of God meant God. Like a lion cub is a lion, an eagle, a son of a man is a man, and the Son of God is God. That is why they consider Jesus a man who was possessed by a ghost and shouted to have Jesus nailed on the cross. In addition, the reason that they couldn't stand about Jesus was that Jesus was close with tax collectors and sinners. They thought if Jesus was the Messiah as he claimed, he should have corrected their faith and life as a whole, as they had no doubt that God was for the righteous, not for sinners. If that was not true, they had to admit that their faith and whole life could become unrighteous and false. That couldn't happen to them. On the contrary, Jesus had meals with and spread the gospel to the tax collectors and sinners who were subject to criticism to show that Jesus becomes angry with the sin itself, but not with people. When the Pharisees and the teachers of the law denounced Jesus, he shared three parables. First was the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. We heard and learned the parable of the father who awaited his lost second son many times. It even seems that there's nothing left to know. Nevertheless, we need to learn this parable for several weeks because the Word of God is much deeper and richer than thought. It usually is referred to the return of the prodigal son. When mentioning this parable, I have never used the prodigal son. Jesus did not share the story of the son to teach how prodigal he was, neither to make sure he was such a bad man. It was rather to stress that the younger son, who also was loved by the father, likewise he loved his first son. In fact, the second son is like the portrait that shows our life. This parable is the longest among those Jesus said. The story is realistic, touching, and tearfully beautiful. So this story is called the Parable of the Parables, or the Gospel of the Gospels. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons." This is the introduction of the parable. The fact that there are two sons indicates that something serious will follow. People have their own lifestyle. Some try everything to make things happen, while others are flexible depending on conditions. Some like to aim specific targets and live to achieve the goals, while others try to encourage others. Alfred Adler is a Jewish Austrian doctor and psychotherapist. He also is the father of individual psychology. He emphasized the role of family structure and the order of birth in forming lifestyle. That is to say, the style of character of life can greatly be influenced by the order that were born in a family. According to his theory, the first child has such a character. They usually are fully loved and supported by the parents. But it does not last when the second child is born. Then they need to share the love of their parents with the younger one. For the first child, as the half of the love was stolen by the younger, it could remain as a scar. Therefore, the younger sometimes become the subject of overthrow. Sometimes the second uses physical force, but they receive nothing but reproach from parents. The first will realize that the only and best tactic to be loved by parents is to care for the younger siblings. So in some cases, they take care of and love their younger siblings to get the love of their parents back. In addition, the fear that they might lose their parents if they do wrong to their younger siblings leads them to be realistic. In the meantime, they get more close to each other. The role of the parents is important here. If the parents reprimand the first harshly and only care for the second, the self-respect of the first could get greatly lower. This is why the parents should respect their children and embrace together. The characteristics of the second are as follows. When you are born and found, there is an obstacle called an older sister. But there is no way to beat them. They are the second till the end of the day. They never had an experience that they own the love of their parents alone. They have to share the love always. So they begin to fight to earn the love of their parents alone. They develop and choose the strategy to win the love. Sometimes they even cheat by doing something naughty, such as wetting the bed, making complaints, or getting lost. The younger create the lifestyle to endlessly compete with their siblings from the moment they were born. Their dream is to win the love of parents all along from their siblings. So they study their siblings more and put the lesson in practice more. So it is often said that the second is likely to succeed over the first. The third have two older siblings when being born already. They hardly can get the love of the parents over the siblings, so they want to make a balance with their siblings. And people say the third have nice and sociable personalities because of that. The second in today's scripture is no difference. The second took a strategy as follows. In verse 12, the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." The Jewish society at the time is focused on males, especially the oldest son. So the share that the parents left for the oldest was twice that for the younger siblings. So the share the second meant was a third of the estate. It is unusual for Koreans as well to ask for their inheritance in advance. It was more so for the Jews. A Roman Catholic priest from the Netherlands, Henry Nouwen, used the quote of Professor Kenneth Bailey, who studied the Middle East for a long time. For the past 15 years, the answer was always the same to the question asking how you think about the attitude of the son who asks for his inheritance, even when their father is well in life, every time when meeting people who lived in countries in the Middle East or Islamic countries from Morocco to India, Turkey, and to Sudan. Has anybody ever asked for such a request in your town? Never. Can you even give it a shot? Not a chance. If someone asked for such a request, then what would have happened? No doubt they were beaten by dad. Why? Because that means they wanted their father to die early. The second son asked for something that could not or should not be done. And the parents still had the right to enjoy every benefit when they were alive, even after dividing his estate. After all, the request of the second was a curse saying, "I wish you die early." The reaction of the father and the second to such an impossible request respectively was as follows. In verses 12 and 13, so he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. But the father did not refuse and accepted every request of the second. That wasn't because the father was helpless or the son could have turned violent violent, but he knew he already made a decision and nothing could stop him. The younger son set off for a distant country. The distant country does not only mean geographical distance. It was a place where the influence of the father cannot reach. The younger son determined to forget his father at all. It might be unnecessary to describe the life of the younger son in detail because we all know naturally or based on the experience. How we are accustomed to a life without father is well described in a biblical drama based on this word. There might be those who watched or had a role in such a drama in the congregation. I also used to have a role when I was young and watched the drama several times at a church where I served. If the running time is about 30 minutes, 1 to 2 minutes will cover the scene where the son asks his father to divide his property and leave him. 1 minute at the end when he came back home and cries in his arms. 1 minute he regrets at a pig pen. Other than that, 26 to 27 minutes will cover the scene where people hang around together at a bar, drinking, dancing, and playing games. In fact, we don't even have to practice such a scene. But the play seems so natural. Isn't it because we are all close to sins? The scripture testifies, and he squandered what he inherited from his father. By squander, it means someone lies a lot and does not act diligently. He or she could also be promiscuous. So when thinking about the word squander, we think of life which is ethically and morally undesirable. However, the most basic and important meaning is to waste. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, testifies as follows, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Based on this word, some preachers say this word does not ban drinking itself. It just prohibited being drunken. But God said like this, not just to criticize drinking, and discourage drinking. If we stop by just either drinking or being drunken, we would miss what it really means. Alcohol is the whole thing that makes us squander our life. When an alcoholic, it literally is alcohol. For some, it would be fickleness, a habit of wasting money for others, unrealistic attitude about life would also be the subject. Moreover, addictions such as internet, drug, shopping, etc., that lead people to an unexpected way. Everything that drives ourselves when God does not want becomes alcohol and it ends up wasting. So the opposite word for squander is to save. By save, it means that you cherish what you have and be careful to take a good care of it. On the contrary, squander or waste means that you do not cherish what you have and just spend it. So in the end, nothing remains. That was the life of the younger son. I share the story of Babylon. It wasn't because the younger son tried to escape his home, thinking it was like a jail, as Babylon did, because he was innocent. It was because I reminded a scene of the movie. In general, the most quoted scene from the movie is the last, when Babylon dived into the sea from the cliff, leaving the hesitating Dugal behind. It must be a cry for freedom. The most impressive scene for me was when Babylon failed to break the jail, put in a solitary confinement for 2 years, fighting against hunger, loneliness, and other extreme pain, and had a dream. Babylon walks the desert sand in white suit. There was a judge from a distance. There were then the jury with 12 members. He says, "You know the charge. I'm innocent. I didn't kill that pimp. You couldn't get anything on me, and you framed me," he cried. But the judge said, "That is quite true. But your real crime has nothing to do with a pimp's death." He then asked back, "Well then, what is it?" "Yours is the most terrible crime a human being can commit. I accuse you of a wasted life. The penalty for that is death," the judge answered. Then Babylon could not keep insisting he was innocent and said, "Guilty, guilty, guilty," until he awoke. There's no bigger sin than wasting a life. The greater sin of the younger son that asking for the property is leaving his father. That already is the beginning of wasting. The younger son requested his share to his father. He asked for money, but his father gave him property, not money, according to the latter half of verse 12. Property is life. People cook, do laundry, clean, and take care of their family to save the life of their family through doing that. Even if a housemaid does the same thing, they aim to earn money, not life. If money is wasted, it can be earned again. But wasted life cannot be overcome. As the living of the younger son was wasted, every life that's of God is a wasted life. Leaving God, Nothing can have meaning, no matter how great achievement they had, how exciting the life it was. God called Abraham at the age of 75 and promised he will give children to him. And there was no answer during 10 years. Although Abraham and his wife get older and older, God did not give them a child. And then Sarah proposed to have a baby through Hagar. Abraham accepted the offer and gave birth to a boy. It was testified in Genesis chapter 16, verse 15 and 16 as follows. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. The name of the son born regardless of the will of God is Ishmael, and the age of Abraham was 86. And the next verse testifies as follows. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. God appeared in front of Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. This means as follows. Did you forget what you and I have promised? Did you feel that I am incapable? Your life to me is neither to live nor to complete. Now act righteously. At the time, Abraham was 99, which means there was a 13-year gap between 86 and 99. It was Abraham's lost and wasted 13 years. During the 13 years, Abraham might have also tried to live righteously, but the Bible kept silent completely. The 13 years without God is meaningless at all. That is not the only truth about squandering. There are also holy wasting and wasting to create again. A boy wasted 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Such a waste became the source of God's work that fed 5,000 men and 10,000 people in total, including women and children. A man who headed down for Jericho from Jerusalem met a robber. The priests and Levites did not squander anything, but a Samaritan willingly wasted. He squandered time, strength, and money. His squander saved a life. The shepherd wasted even himself to get the lost sheep back. That was how the sheep could survive. The woman willingly wasted herself to find the lost coin and finally could rejoice. The one who wasted himself the most is Jesus Christ. The Lord came down to the earth to save men who turned against God from eternity to the low and humble place. The everlasting waste saved us forever. Let us keep our eyes on the Lord, so that our daily lives could be built in the Lord and the truth, and life could be stored in turn. If we walk with the Lord in the Lord, will be able to make it to the spring of grace. And be able to reach the fruit of humility when feeling to walk on the highways to Zion. Let us not forget this. No matter how you have, no matter how high you are promoted, if you avoid God and if you leave God, such a life itself is already a debauchery and waste. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to realize that the life lived not in the Lord and not with the Lord is a debauchery and waste. We confess that we have squandered our life so much. We also admit that we misunderstood that it was saving time, not seeking God. Now we learn that why so much regret and a sense of frustration we had to have around that the end of every year. We avoided God and tried to live as we wish instead. And that made us not like those who are the children of God and made us regret our lives. We thank you, God. Although we lived a life full of debauchery, God wasted himself for us. Without it, how dare could we think about the truth and eternal life? Help us think deeply about God who willingly wasted himself. Moreover, allow us to become the papillon of life, the butterfly that fly to the Lord in the Lord by putting an end to the dissipate life at the place where we disobey God for our own desire. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.